The following program is presented by Hanson McLean.
It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad to have you here with us on this Saturday. So what? It's the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend.
Yeah.
Glad. Anyway, good to be here in the studio with myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors. Spend our weekdays with people like yourself, helping them with their finances. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. So we'd love to take any calls and questions you've got about your finances. And, of course, we're going to talk about what's happening in the world of finances and all that stuff.
So when I was in college, I actually used to go, this is back in the day before you could just download things. I used to go to the library and listen to Martin Luther King speeches on my own time.
While you were studying?
Well, I was supposed to be studying, but I found that actually I found that a little bit more interesting. So I would go and listen to the speeches because I found him an incredible speaker. And a number of years ago, I was back in Atlanta for business, and I cut out of a business meeting for half a day and went over to the Martin Luther King
Museum. I was with you on that trip.
Museum. Oh, that is correct.
Quite the memory.
I remember the museum. I forgot the fact that you were there. Anyway, very nice. So if you're ever in Atlanta and you have the opportunity, it's worth going to visit.
Absolutely.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was actually very touching. I found that museum and the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. to probably be the most intriguing.
I was there a month ago.
Oh, the Holocaust Museum?
Yes.
Is that the first time you had been there?
Yes.
Oh,
I've been to some other related type museums over the years, but
it's so well done. But just
the haunting thing is you look at the pictures and you realize you could be any of those people.
Yeah. That's terrible. Obviously.
Not just the victims. That's what I mean. It's just the whole humanity at its worst right there.
So there's my review of museums in the U.S.
As we, it's Martin Luther King weekend. And anyway, but, I don't know how many people paid close attention to that, because I don't think there was much local news on the Swiss franc.
Yes.
And what happened this week and how a lot of speculators lost a lot of money. A
couple firms actually are closing down.
Firms blew up on Thursday.
Yes.
Firms that have been around a long time, huge firms, all in foreign currency trading. And sometimes we get questions from people, what about investing in foreign currency? You think that's a good idea in foreign currency? And so if we step back, here's why you people can trade in foreign currency. If you are a company and you're manufacturing widgets over in let's say Japan. Let's say Japan is manufacturing these widgets for you. You're going to have them delivered sometime later this year and then sell them. One of your risks you have as a business is the fluctuation in currency markets. You think, well, what happens if our dollar continues to get stronger, their currency gets weaker, it's going to end up costing me more for these. Why don't I see if someone will go ahead and take that risk away from me today? And that's essentially how options markets came into existence. So companies say, I'm going to go ahead and sell my, I'm going to enter a currency transaction today so that I know what the currency is going to be worth for us down the road.
And they'll pay a premium for that. So yes. Think of about it just like insurance. You pay a premium and risk is taken by someone else.
And that's what essentially the foreign currency market is. And so on the other end,
the person that receives the premium and then takes the risk.
Taking the risk. Well, there are times when you get two parties, they both want the other end of the other side of the contract for insurance purposes. That's always the best. But when you have people say, I'm just going to take the speculative bet that I know something more about the currency markets than somebody else does, and that's where people invest in foreign currency. And the studies, these brokerage firms that specialize this, they state that only about 30% of their customers make money.
Which is exactly the same, almost identical to the number that the
casinos.
That the currency dropped by.
Yeah, so what happened on, this was amazing. If you're in finance, you find this stuff amazing. On Thursday, the Swiss central bank said, we are no longer going to try to peg our currency. We're going to let it float with the market. And within.
And why did they do that, Scott?
Well, because a lot of people have been piling into the Swiss franc as the unrest in Europe. Swiss is not part of the euro. It's currency.
So, and they were paying themselves to other currencies, which means that they wouldn't fluctuate. And in order to keep that hedge in place, it was costing the Swiss government
too much,
lots and lots of money.
So they said, forget it. We're going to let this thing float. The currencies changed almost 30% against the euro in a matter of minutes. A tremendous swing. That's like seeing the Dow fall by 5,000 points in minutes. That's essentially what happened with the Swiss franc. And what this did, it caused a lot of people who had small investments, relatively, see their investments blow up. Because what typically happens is people are highly leveraged, 20 times leveraged, 30 times leveraged, up to 50 times leveraged. And a lot of individual people lost a lot of money on Thursday.
More money than they invested.
Some of them, much more than they invested. Some of them got calls in the middle of the night
that said, hey, you, sorry to wake you up, send us a big check.
And I just think it's one of these good reminders that markets can change very quickly. It's a good reminder of what leverage, when you have borrowed money, can do. And it's a good reminder that you can't, if you think you're going to outsmart the markets, you probably can't.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got hurt. Anyway, but when I was reading the talk about investors, I'm thinking these aren't investors, they're speculators. When you're buying foreign currency.
Yeah, you're speculating.
You're thinking you know what the markets, the current currency market's going to do one against the next. You realize who you're competing against?
Too? Yeah. And they're losing. And many of those firms went out of business. Blew up.
Yeah, even the big banks lost a lot of money.
By the end of the day.
Yeah, $150 million bucks here. I mean, lots of money was lost. Anyway, so there you've got the Swiss franc story for the week. 921-1530. If you want to join the program here, you got a question for us about something in your financial life, thinking about making an investment or planning for your retirement or whatever it should be. 921-1530 is the number to join Hanson McLean. Or toll free, it's 800-834-1530.
Or you could send us an email at questions at moneymatters.com. We got a bunch of different websites. We have a bunch of different the domain names.
Yeah, okay. Let's
okay, all right.
Let's talk to John. John, you're with Hanson McLean. Hi, John.
Hi, this is John up in Gardnerville in the Carson Valley in Nevada.
Oh, yeah, you've called us before.
Many times, and I very much appreciate the advice I've gotten from you before.
Well, I appreciate that. And by the way, I do love Gardnerville.
I'm glad you do.
I do. I like to ride my bike on the backside of the Sierras through Genoa and up into that Indian reservation.
Is that where there's like the hot springs, natural hot springs?
Yeah, that's Wally's.
Wally's is here, yes.
Wally's Natural Hot Springs.
That's saying something about me.
You went to Wally's?
I've stayed the night at Wally's before.
Hmm.
Oh,
all right,
really
anyway.
Nice.
By the way, I do love that the backside of the, it's kind of a, you know, it's got beautiful views, but it's in the desert. Anyway.
Okay, John, how can we help?
Thank you. I'm a Nevada resident, and my oldest son is a California resident, and he's living in an apartment down in Folsom, and he's out looking for a house. And my wife and I want to help him buy the house.
Okay.
Make a down payment. And he's single. So
how old is he?
He's just about 40.
Okay.
And we've also already this year contributed $5,500 to his Roth IRA.
Okay.
So that would limit us to about $22,500 if we were to give him money and stay under the $14,000 per year gifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that may or may not even matter.
That's why I think that might be one of the reasons John called.
Continue on.
Okay.
Yes. So we would like to possibly give him more than that.
Uh-huh.
So how can we...
Easy.
This is a good question, John, because I think a lot of people get hung up on this $14,000 a year. I give more than that. I've got a tax. Here's how the law works.
And John, if you put everything in a suitcase, sold everything and put everything in a suitcase, how big would that suitcase be? How much money would be there if you and your wife sold everything you had and put it all in a suitcase?
Before taxes, about $4 million.
Okay, perfect. That's going to help us in answering the question.
Each individual can transfer, either while we're living or at our death, $5 million. I think it's $5,300,000 somewhere, right? A little over $5 million.
It's over $10 million for a couple.
Okay. Yes. So what happens any year that we gift more than the annual exclusion amount, which I think is $14,000 for 2015, we need to report as a taxable gift on our tax returns. It does not mean there's a tax due. There's no tax due until we exceed that $10 million.
Okay.
So the estate and the gift tax is essentially the same. It's the same code and the same rules that apply upon that. So let's say you were going to give your son $50,000, just throwing out a number.
Okay.
That you can absolutely do that
and not pay taxes on it as a gift. You just, if you hit the $10 million at your death, if you exceeded that, then that would become a taxable event, but that's not going to happen. So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is you can give your son some money now and then lend him the rest and forgive part of the loan every year.
Oh. Yes, that's another way to just have a little side note saying this is a loan, not a...
Yeah. So
although he might have to sign some other statement stating that it's not a loan.
Not a loan, it's a gift, yes.
Yeah, that's so, when we... Okay.
So it's easy. If he was my son, I would just go ahead and give him the money and then take it off of the amount that I could pass forward at my death.
Okay.
All righty. And it's a great time to buy. These interest rates are low, low, low.
Oh, my gosh.
And he actually, is he a first-time home buyer?
Well, he will be considered because, okay. Yes.
They have 3% downs right now. I mean, you've got the government all over this.
Yeah, again.
Like they've never seen this movie before.
It's all.
Well, I was talking with some bankers, but if it's 3% down, then he's got to pay PMI. But if he goes up to 10% down, he does not have to pay PMI.
You did your math. That is
correct. Is it 10%? You don't need PMI anymore? Obama just said that the government needs to cut up on a break, so they're reducing the amount of that extra insurance. Going to
anyway,
cost with less
we appreciate
time.
The call.
Wait, yeah. I got one more question.
Oh, I'll tell you what. We're going to put you on hold and bring you into the over on the other side of the break.
We're going to take a quick break. All right?
Okay.
Stick around, John. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Yep.
You'd like to join the show, 916-921-1530, or you can email us at questions@moneymatters.com, questions@moneymatters.com. And while you're on the computer, you can go to...
the computer.
when you're on the internet, you go to HansonMcClain.com and listen to some downloads of these.
The computer reminds me. I did this like executive education course last year.
I was plugging our firm right here.
Okay. That's why I interrupted. So,
or you could download an ebook, this process we created called the 7 Personal Decision Points. Or you could download another ebook called the 9 Biggest Worries. Is where I ruminate about my 9 biggest worries. It's nothing really to do with you and your retirement. It's just me musing.
I think it's the 9. Number 7, a meteor falls from the sky.
Huh? Electric cars, you can't hear them coming.
Those are your worries.
That was number 8.
Pat's 9 biggest worries.
With a photo collage, too. With drawings.
I can do my own watercolors.
Gosh. All right. It's an illustrated ebook.
I won't bother with my story on the computer because we now should go back to the calls here.
Okay.
We're with John. John, you're with Hanson McClain.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call again.
Yeah.
Where should I pull the money from? Should I pull it from my 401k or IRAs, from my Roth IRAs, or sell some stock that I have is well appreciated.
What's your son's income like?
He's about $70,000 to
$80,000
a year.
How much do you have in your 401k or IRAs?
About $2 million.
And what do you have?
How old are you?
Pardon?
How old are you?
66.
Are you taking any money from those yet?
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this, and I'm pulling up to $210,000 out. So if I was to take it out of the IRA 401ks, I would convert less to Roth IRA.
Oh, got it.
So I think you should convert as much to the Roth, don't take any from the Roth, and sell some stock.
Yes.
Sell stock.
Sell stock.
And if you let's say you love this, I had a conversation with a client a couple years ago. They love the stock there. They said, no, I don't want to sell the stock. It's been whatever reasons they were in love with the stock. I said, look, we'll sell the stock, and the same day we're going to go and repurchase it inside your Roth IRA or your IRA or whatever. If you love the stock that much, we'll keep it. But from a tax planning standpoint, I would rather see you at 66. If you're 86, might be a different story. At 66, I'd rather you sell the stock.
And, you know, Scott, I was thinking that gifting the stock to his son, allowing his son to sell the stock, but John lives in Nevada, and his son lives in California.
You know, I would do that calculation, though.
It's in Nevada and California.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
I did
that. You'll max out on federal.
Yeah.
He's at 25%. I'm at about 25%. The only problem I have with selling stock is that since I have the capital gains counts towards my adjusted modified income, and I'm trying to limit that to $210,000 a year because otherwise I get bumped into higher Medicare bracket.
Then convert less than your Roth.
Or figure out how much Medicare is going to cost you an extra, $100 a month or something, right? I mean,
yeah.
So for the year you do it, just convert less to the Roth.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was planning to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it that way.
And if you were both in the state of California, I would actually have you gift the shares to him and then sell them. But he's in a higher tax bracket because he lives in the state of California. You live in the state of Nevada.
Right. I thought about that. And yeah, the tax differential is just too high.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. All right. We appreciate the call. John, thank you for listening.
Yeah. Wish you well.
Bye-bye.
I think he probably listens on the computer.
What's my story on this computer? I went to this executive, it's like these executive.
Where?
It doesn't matter.
Harvard.
Scott,
you went to Harvard?
For this executive course, yes.
Okay.
So, but it's irrelevant. My point is, it was the professor in charge of this was 80-some years old. One of these guys, just a lot of wisdom, been teaching and consulting for 60 years or whatever, right? Tremendous wisdom. He would talk about calculated some program and did some analysis and stuff, but he kept referring to it. Well, we put that information into the computer. So we put it in the computer, and the computer told us. We kind of start teasing him about the computer because there's obviously lots of different programs and whatnot.
It's more than a computer.
Yeah, there's a computer in everything now. It's not just the computer did this or the computer did that. All right, 921-1530. Let's talk to Kevin. Kevin, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. How are you? This is Kevin from Burlingame, California. So it's the Bay Area, and I'm listening to you guys on the computer as well.
Computer. Thank you.
So I like your show a lot. And I have a question.
Really quick question.
Sure.
If I could ask a question first. How did you find our program if you're in Burlingame, listened online?
That's actually kind of funny because about a year ago, I was living in San Ramon, and my wife and I were just at the outlet, premium Livermore outlet.
I'm sorry.
And my wife was shopping, and I obviously had nothing to do. So I was just waiting in the car, and depending on the direction your antenna is pointing at, you can sometimes pick up the signal from Sacramento.
Got it. Okay.
And that's how you found us.
Exactly. So really enjoy the show. I've been listening it for about a year.
Okay, actually, it sounds like the best shopping trip ever. Quite frankly.
Very rewarding.
I am exactly where you would be. I would be sitting in my car if my wife was shopping.
That's a question I have for both of you. How can you get away with that? If my wife dragged me to I hardly ever go, but if she dragged me to a shopping facility
and
I said I'm going to sit in the car?
What do you mean, how do we get away with it? We can't tell you.
Well, it was out of necessity because we couldn't find a parking spot.
So I told
her to go in, and I would just circle around the parking lot.
You are a smart man.
You know what?
Man.
Maybe that should do is find the most crowded times. Honey, I would love to come in. I can't find a parking place.
There we go.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I have a question. My wife and I are thinking about whether we need a living revocable trust.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we're kind of conflicted. We've been told by people that we might need it, but because it's a long probate process, you wouldn't have any access to the assets if one of us happens to leave. And it's very costly in California at
it
our
can
asset
be,
level.
It can be costly.
Yeah, and it
yeah,
could
I was
be
looking up
almost
on the computer,
free.
And they were saying it would cost around $28,000 or $30,000 at our asset level.
Do you have children?
We do not. We just bought a condo for the first time about 2 weeks ago.
And what's stopping you? The cost of the trust?
No, it's not. Well, it's not just the. Well, that's part of it. The other part is I just hear it's very complex. Every time I want to manage my finances,
the
and
trust can be complex. So here's the. So you've got no kids. You're married, right?
Yes.
All right. And so I imagine you hold the title to the condo as community property, or at least joint tenants on that.
Yeah, with a right of survivorship.
Okay, joint tenants with rights of survivorship. You've got your
401k or IRAs.
Beneficiaries listed on each other, right?
That's right.
And
that's
do you
right.
have any other assets to speak of other than that?
We have bank accounts. Because we lived overseas, so we actually have some money overseas as well, about $300,000 worth of cash overseas. And those are just individual accounts.
Huh.
That can complicate
that
things.
Can.
But a California trust may or may not add any value whatsoever to money you have overseas.
Okay. But we do have other bank accounts and brokerage accounts. I have a brokerage account that's just in my name. And
you could list her as a transfer on death.
Yeah, TOD.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, all right, if I did not have kids...
I would not have a trust set up.
I don't think I'd have a trust set up. I would actually get TODs, transfer on death, on the accounts and call it a day.
Okay.
And when you look, you see these statutory fees. Those are like the maximum that can be charged.
And that's assuming...
At probate.
And that's
the first spouse goes, you don't necessarily need probate. Everything if you have it set up right, everything just transfers.
Okay.
It's a simple process.
So let me ask you another question, though. The other benefit...
One second. Sorry. I did not have a trust until I had kids.
The other benefit is if your estate's worth more than $5 million, then you could take advantage of two exclusions.
Is yours?
No.
Okay.
No. So the other benefit of something like having a trust is having incapacity clause, so that if one of us did not die, but... just unable to manage our finances, the other person can use the trust to help the other person manage finances. Isn't
that
correct?
You don't need a trust for that.
Yeah, you just get a durable power of attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go to LegalZoom.com and download that.
Yes. And matter of fact, usually in that process, if you go get a basic will, how old are you?
I'm 37. My wife is 30.
Yes. I'm just thinking, if I was 37 years old with no kids, I would not bother with the trust.
Yeah.
I would have my account set up on transfer of death. I wouldn't worry about having a... Look, the statistical odds of one of you becoming incapacitated are so small. That happens, you just go and is it a little bit of work to get power of attorney? It's a little bit of work, but I mean, your life is going to be turned upside down if your wife's suddenly incapacitated to the point she can't even sign, for crying out loud. Your
so
life's
I wouldn't
changed.
Spend a lot. Now, for all the attorneys out there listening, both of you.
We're not practicing law here, by the way.
We're not practicing law. He asked us
our opinion
on this. 90% of the clients that actually come through our office, we recommend a trust.
If you were much older, had kids, I would
higher net worth.
I just personally wouldn't bother at this stage.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, wish you well, Kevin. So
that's unusual because we almost never answer it like that.
Well, I mean, there are times where I think trust makes sense for a lot of people.
If you have kids, you want to trust.
But you also need to understand these attorneys that specialize in providing living trusts, they have an incentive to get you in as a customer client today so that the trust administration work can be done upon your death. My experience is... The complexity with the trust administration and the expense is about the same as probate most of the time. I don't know if you'd say the same. But
yeah. People talk about how much probate costs. Well,
you're still
going to
pay attorney's fees when someone dies.
Sometimes. I've had many clients that have done it themselves.
Having said all that.
You did your own for your mother-in-law, did you not?
Yeah, she died unexpectedly. Didn't have she had a will, but...
But you cleaned up the estate, did you not?
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal, really.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was that much more work than if she had a living trust set up, frankly. And she owned a home and had some other assets and all that. But having said all that, it is really important that you have some estate planning done, whether it's transfer on death, the way your accounts are set up. And if you've got kids, particularly minor kids, then we believe oftentimes a trust is really important. If not, you need to have a will that gives some sort of restrictions upon how the distribution of those assets occur at your death.
Otherwise, and who's going to act as a guardian to those child?
Those are highly important. That's the much more important than these other factors. We need to take a break. 921-1530 is the number if you'd like to join us. This is Hanson McClain. Well, welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Thanks for being part of the program on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. If you want to join the program, 916-921-1530. Got a question for us, you can come on the air, 921-1530. Or you can send us an email, questions@moneymatters.com. And you can also call us toll-free, particularly if the lines are busy. Sometimes that's a way to get in. 800-834-1530.
I wanted to go see that movie Selma this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to
be I almost went last night by myself.
You? I almost went to the movies by myself.
We should have called each other. I didn't have anything going on last night.
I was going to go and see Foxcatcher.
I don't know anything about that.
It's with the guy, the DuPont guy that ended up, he went crazy
wrestling. The wrestling thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that sounds very
good. I don't know.
I ended up watching some pay-per-view thing that wasn't my son recommended. I shouldn't take my son's recommendations on movies.
They had zombies, something to do with zombies?
No, it was just, there's too much violence and there's a couple sex scenes in there, which not a...
That were gratuitous?
My son's 17. Yes, yeah, I actually thought about it later. I said I kind of felt dirty after watching it. It just wasn't my kind of movie.
I'm with you. Do not take advice from...
Maybe I'll take my wife to go see Selma.
That'd be nice. It's my anniversary this weekend, tomorrow.
Don't go to the movies for your anniversary.
29.
Somewhere where you don't have to talk to her.
20.
It's nice.
29. Well, you can do more than one thing, you know, on a day. You can go to dinner and a movie. You can go to a movie and dinner.
How about like a nice walk or something?
Hike. What are you, Dr. Phil?
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, well, anyway, 29 years.
Well, congratulations on
well,
that.
Well, thank you.
29 years.
I would hope that
How many good years? I'm just kidding. Just kidding, kidding, Joe.
Holy smokes. You know she listened to this
does
show?
She?
No.
Oh, I was going to say my wife never does. This was my mistake.
You say anything you want. You're not gonna listen.
All right, we better get some back to the calls here. Let's talk with Brian. Brian, you're with Hanson McClain.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for calling, Brian.
I had a question about either paying off a mortgage on a rental property or using that money to invest. My wife and I moved right when the peak of the market occurred, and then it crashed, and we were unable to get out from underneath our original home.
Yeah.
We turned it into a rental property.
Okay.
And as the years have passed, we kind of are looking at it now as an investment property potentially to sell when the kids get to college, or maybe a property to keep for when the parents get old and need to move close by.
Okay.
Currently, we're losing about $1,200 a year on it because the rent won't support, you know, all the costs and insurance and everything else. But I have the means to pay the thing off. With about $100,000 on the mortgage remaining, and I'm just not sure. Ultimately, it would wind up saving me probably about $20,000 in interest.
What's the interest rate on this?
3.875.
Do you have the cash now?
I do.
And where did it come from, the cash?
Slow accumulation and savings.
Okay.
We actually have maxed out our 401s and 403s and all of that stuff.
How old are you, Brian?
41.
How old are your kids?
6 and 9.
And how much do you owe on your primary residence?
About 250.
And what's the interest rate on that?
2.9.
What do you think you should do?
We're already pretty heavily in the market. Through our retirement investments. So So I'm kind of leaning towards paying the thing off and actually turning it into a positive cash flow.
We agree. I like that.
I do too. And you look at it two ways, right? You obviously have a pretty good understanding of how this works. By paying that down, it's the equivalent of you having a bond portion of your portfolio that's earning 3.875%.
Correct.
Which isn't a bad interest rate in this environment. And not only that, it would bring some financial security to your life. I like the idea of you're looking at your kids at age 6 and 9 and knowing that you're going to need some money in 9 years. And you can either sell the home at that point in time or use that income that is derived from that. You know what I would actually do? I would actually pay that off. And I would start funding the 529 plans with the proceeds from the mortgage, from the rent. Because you've already maxed your 401k
correct.
And 403b.
Correct.
And are you funding the 529s now?
We are. We currently have
you're like a poster child.
How much do you have in the 529s?
It's 117 right now.
You already have 117,000 saved for your kids?
Yes.
For each kid?
No, that's total. So it's one 529 that I would just, you know, change the beneficiary.
Yeah, this guy's got it going on. Brian, you got it going on. You sure you don't want to host this show?
Yeah, why don't you go lease a new car or something?
Come on. Spinning wheels. Listen, you got to watch more ads.
No.
I would do that. I would increase the funding on the 529.
Here's the thing. I bet there's some listeners right now thinking, what are you out of your mind? Why doesn't he go out and buy another rental? The thing is, leverage cuts both ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
When asset prices are going up, if you're leveraged, great, it's going to work out well for you. But when things go the other direction, it cuts that way as well. That's why so many people were underwater on homes a few years back, right? And you had that experience of what things can happen. When everything else is going so well in your financial life, I mean, you're maximizing your 401ks, you've got your kids' college savings already set up. Whether or not you pay this thing off is probably realistically not going to make any difference in what your retirement's going to be like 25 years down the road.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But if it's paid for, that's one less thing to worry about. Now that you've got some additional cash flow coming in, you can make some other decisions that helps you financially.
Just out of curiosity, don't tell us where you work, but what do you do for a living? Are you an engineer or an analyst or something like that?
No, a physician.
There we go.
Physician, you don't sound like a physician either.
Honest.
You should be having a new Porsche. Go get that big cup like a $200,000
Porsche. Well, that's not fair, Scott, because we have lots of clients that are doctors that are not pretentious.
Yeah, I'm driving a 9-year-old Honda.
Okay.
So. There you go.
But you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of physicians that spend it all, too. So.
Yeah, I'd pay off that mortgage and then do the 529s.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you're in great shape. You should be just getting out of medical school with all the student loans at 41. No, I don't know.
Thankfully, I got out from underneath that a few years ago.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you.
All right, well, I appreciate the call, Brian.
Thanks for being in medicine. I know it's not the career it was 20 years ago. So,
It's still a good place to be.
Well, if you're doing it for the right reason, particularly, but I just know it's a lot of stress. So I appreciate. We need good young physicians like that. How many physicians you talk to? They all tell their kids don't go into medicine. Isn't that what you hear?
Yeah.
They say they work more, they make less.
I have a client that's a physician, his daughter's going to be a physician.
Okay, well, they still die. Let's go, let's talk to Bill. Bill, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I retired in 2000 with my plan intact, and I figured we'd make it about 10 to 15 years, and I did that. I have a little money left over. What should I do with it?
When you say make it about 10 to 15 years, make what?
Live.
Oh, got it.
Now it's 15 years. We're still here.
We still have money left.
Yes. Now what do you do?
Well, it's interesting. Bill, 2000 was probably like the worst time to retire just as far as, I mean, that was right at the start. You came off the great 90s from an investment standpoint.
It was a medical thing.
Yeah. I'm not saying it was bad that you did that. I'm just saying it's a for those that retired in 2000, oftentimes it's been a challenge because they had 3 down years, a couple great years, and then, of course, then financial.
You know, and quite frankly, Bill.
I lived it. I know that.
Yeah, I know you know it. So.
I didn't think I'd make it that long, but now here I sit.
And a lot of people actually, if you look at the numbers, the percentage of people that actually voluntarily retire is
less than half.
And the reason is it's normally. It has to do with either job relocation, spouse getting sick, you getting sick, or taking care of a loved one who has gotten sick, a parent or a sibling?
Right. I did 35 years and I got sick.
Yeah, so. And it's not unusual. That's why we always say, whether you plan on retiring or not, you should plan to retire at some point.
Yeah, be retirement ready.
So the question is, what do you do with this money? What
I got a little bit left over after getting rid of the grandkids and live-ins and all of that crap. I've never paid into Social Security. I've never bought a stock in my life. I've never done mutual funds. I've never done annuities.
Oh.
And I got a little bit left over.
Keep it in the bank.
Say what?
Keep it in the bank.
Well, I think what Pat's point is, you've managed to get this far without taking on those additional risks. I mean, unless you want to do this almost for an educational and an entertainment standpoint.
No, man, I'm not into education entertainment. I'm into living every day, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a pension coming in that takes care of your monthly needs?
35 years with CalPERS.
There we go.
Yeah. I wouldn't. If you have not invested in risky type assets, I certainly would. And you're able to retire and you don't need to. I certainly wouldn't start now.
I would not start now. I'd keep it in the bank.
Stay with the embarrassing situation of CDs and.
Less embarrassing than buying a bunch of stocks at the top of the market.
Yeah, less embarrassing than and then losing it to some shyster who's selling non-traded REITs or big old fat annuities.
I didn't think I'd ever get you to the point of saying that, but that sounds good to me.
No, I mean, you know what?
Look, it's what's best for you, not what's best for us.
Once you put the plan together over decades and it's a success, and then you somehow have a little left over, it makes you really spooky. Like, okay, now what? I mean, is medical expenses, is the Obamacare going to eat me alive?
Well, you've got CalPERS.
And if we'll stay on that.
Well, you're in your mid-70s?
69.
All right, you're fine. You're fine. You're covered. You're good. I would just keep it in the bank, not worry. Yeah. I don't care what my neighbors are doing.
Yep.
You know, and if I was unhappy with the return the bank was gonna give me, I would just I'd suck
There's
it up.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. It's just rates are low today.
I listen to you guys all the time, and you're so full of confidence. It gives me pause as to what I'm doing. So.
Oh, I appreciate that. Oh, good. I appreciate that. Well, thank you for the call,
Bill.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and everyone is a unique situation, right? I mean, what's right for one person is not right for the next person.
So, but he did start the thing by saying, "I got rid of, I've taken care of all the grandkids and the live-ins and the live-ins." And I was, were they girlfriends or live-in children or what are live-ins?
We got to take a break. We're way past due. We still have time for a couple
What's
more
a
calls
live-in?
If you want to join us. 921-1530. It's my kid home from college. 921-1530 is our number. This is Hanson McClain. Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Let's get these calls.
921-1530.
Talking to Tom. Tom, you're with Hanson McClain.
Yes, how are you today?
Great, Tom. Thanks for holding.
Question. My son and his wife make $200,000+. Can they do a Roth backdoor without a penalty to any of their 401ks or 403bs?
That's a good question.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly.
So their income is above the limit for them to make a contribution to a Roth IRA.
That's correct.
Do they have any other IRAs?
Yes.
Not 401ks, but IRAs.
I think he does from his former job. He brought it in.
Got it. How much is in that IRA, do you know?
I don't know.
Here's the challenge. If we have other IRAs, here's our challenge, right? So he can contribute to a non-deductible traditional IRA.
Right.
Right? And then subsequently convert that to a Roth.
Correct.
The problem when you have other IRAs, let's say you contribute $5,000 to a non-traditional IRA and immediately then convert that to a Roth, the IRS says, well, you can't just look at that IRA alone. We need to look at all of your IRAs. So if he has a combined $50,000, let's say, in IRAs, of the $5,000 he converted, only 10% would be tax-free and 90% would be taxable because it's prorated against the others.
But
there's a workaround. Let's say he's got...
Tom referred to it as a back door.
Here's the back door. So let's say he has $50,000 sitting in an IRA from a previous employer. If he transfers that to his current employer's 401k, he now has no IRAs.
So the 401ks or a 403b are shielded if you put it in there.
That's correct. They're not the same thing as an IRA. So if he was sitting in our office, we'd say, hey, what we want you to do is take your IRA and transfer it into your 401k at your current employer, and then we'd allocate it correctly. And then we'd say, now make a non-deductible contribution to an IRA, and the very next day you convert it to a Roth IRA. And in the conversion to the Roth IRA, there's no taxes due, and you get to the same place. You just have to go through an extra hoop.
Yes, you answered the question completely.
It actually take it one step further. Let's say that this week he went and transferred his IRA over to the 401k, no longer has it. He can contribute this between now and April 15th money for 2014 and money for 2015.
That is correct.
And then the next day, convert it to a Roth.
I did that actually, and my IRA was actually so small to begin with. When I did the non-deductible contribution to the IRA, I ended up just converting the whole thing.
Yeah, well, he was worried about he would go also against his 401k and 403b.
No. Okay. No. You want to use that as kind of a safe haven. Mm-hmm. So you understand the answer.
Yep.
All right.
I appreciate your answer.
Thanks.
All right.
And thank you.
Thanks. And it was
smart,
the right
kind of planning.
It had the added value of being the right answer. So we had that going for us.
But if it wasn't the right, how would you know?
Well, someone would know.
Someone would eventually call. Other than that, the rest of the listeners go on
blindly. People are not afraid to send an email if they disagree. There was some angry guy, remember years ago from Auburn, that used to email you every week.
Oh, every once in a while, he still pops his head up. He's just a bitter old man. Maybe he's a young man. He's bitter.
He's bitter.
That's right. But considering, I get very few hate mail.
He was
mail.
A financial advisor,
very
too, wasn't he?
Very little hate mail.
He was a life insurance salesman or some sort.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
No one likes a bitter advisor. No one.
Unlike other professions, sometimes bitter's good.
No one likes a bitter advisor.
Like talking to the United Air representative last night I had. Oh, no, that's another story. All right, let's talk to Wayne. Wayne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I used to work for a company, IT, and then I still had some pension in there. And for some time, they wouldn't allow me to roll over. So finally, they just sent me a letter like a week ago and said that I will be able to roll over.
Let me back up. Are these dollars that the company contributed some sort of a profit sharing type thing or ESOP or?
Or was it your own money that was contributed?
No, this is an employer sponsor. So they let me roll over, but I was wondering, should I roll over to an IRA or to a 401k? What's better?
How much money are you talking about?
Maybe around 40K.
And do you have a 401k at your new employer?
Yes.
And
do you like the options in your current employer's 401k?
What do you mean options?
The investment options. So do they give you a pretty big menu to choose from?
Right now, I'm currently just used a target fund. Let's say if I'm going to retire in 20 something, then I'm just
you're using a target date fund.
Target funds, yeah.
All right. So if you let's say you transfer this to an IRA, how would you invest these dollars?
I think it's more flexible with the IRA.
That is correct. But what choices would you make?
I would probably put, I still got a long way to go, so I'd probably put a lot more in stocks than bonds. Take a little risk.
Yeah, you know what? I'd do that. Wayne, I agree. What I would do is
I'd use another target retirement fund.
But he just said he's young. He's got ways to go. He's got 40 grand.
Here's why our hesitation on this. Having more flexibility can be a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. It's a good thing if you pick wise investment options and are a prudent investor and can do well over time. It's a bad thing if either you don't know how to pick good investments and you have bad ones in there, or you have someone who calls themselves some sort of financial advisor sell you some expensive investments.
At least the 401k has gone through some sort of screen. How old are you, Wayne?
Around 40.
40. Well, you should be able to do. You should be able to manage this better in an IRA with greater flexibility than just a target date fund.
That is correct.
Whether or not the average person is going to be able to do that or not is another story.
And how much money do you have in your company 401k now? The one that your new company.
Around 80K.
All right. So here's what I would do, Wayne. I'd roll it over to an IRA, yeah. and I'd buy the total market, and I'd sit back and wait patiently. Patiently wait. I'd buy the total market index with 100% of it, 40 grand. You're making
25 years from now.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And that's what I would do. All righty?
Yeah, because they told me if I leave it in there, I usually get about $100 a month in interest from the pension.
Maybe it's a cash balance plan type thing. Option.
Well,
$100 is not a lot of return.
Was it a big company that you worked for? Huge?
Yeah.
Sounds like an old cash balance plan.
HP, yeah.
HP.
All right.
Yeah. Roll it over into a total market IRA.
Okay.
Low cost. All righty. Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Wayne. Call. Wish you well. That's what I would do if I was in.
That's why we gave him the advice.
That is why we gave him the advice.
Yes.
But, you know, it's interesting. The target date funds, which is essentially, there's several different strategies employed all in one fund, and it's all, say, if you're going to retire 2025, you pick a target date 2025, and supposedly they manage money.
Which is better than
a lot of other things.
But what
is
happens,
it the best? No.
No. And what it does is allows a mutual fund company to take essentially their whole portfolio of mutual funds, be them good or bad,
put them together and charge
a higher fee.
Yeah,
and we like to refer to that. There's a name for it in our business. It's called putting a lipstick on a pig.
Oh, that's it. But they're not all pigs.
They've got a lot of pork in them.
Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's a good low cost, no load provider.
But not every fund in there is.
They also tend to ignore any sort of risk tolerance that an individual has.
That is correct.
I mean, it's a one size fits all. But better than a lot of
absence,
other options.
Absent everything, right? Better than a lot of options for most people.
Better than a lot of options
for most people.
We are just about out of time, and which is so sad for us.
But you can hear more of us.
First of all, we're here every Saturday from 10 to 11. We rebroadcast Sundays from 2 to 3. And during the week, go to our website at hansommclain.com. While you're at Hanson McClain, you could sign up for podcasts of this program. I have it delivered to you each week if you'd like. You could also, there's lots of good videos on our website, ebooks you can download. It's really a great place for information. If you haven't been there in a while, I encourage you to go there. hansommclain.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week.